morning, everybody. Nice to see so many people here. If you look at your notice sheets, you'll notice they're last week's notice sheets. We haven't got a notice sheet for this week, but the notices, some of the notices, will still be relevant, won't they? I won't go through them. Thank you. But there is one other important notice. I'm sure many of you know already that Edwina Sarkissian died this week. I got a thing, it said, thing from an email. With great love and grief, we share the news that Edwina died on the morning of December the 27th, 2023. She was at St. Giles Hospice, surrounded by her family, and it was a peaceful and gentle end. The funeral will be held at St. Chad's Church in Lichfield on Thursday, January the 11th. I'm sure St. Chad's Church is the cathedral, in fact. Anyway, at 2:30 p.m. That's January the 11th. Followed by a brief committal at Fradley Crematorium. An informal reception will follow at Jenny and Alan's home, which is in Lichfield. Anybody wants to know about it, they can do that. They hope to have a memorial service. Gets a bit better. It's not organised yet. So, can we pray? Lord, we raise to you the family and friends of Edwina Sarkissian. We ask, Lord, in this sad time, that you make yourself known to them. Help them to feel your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Now we begin our service. We'll take up your sheets. So let us stand. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day the Lord has made. We've come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, to seek forgiveness of our sins, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Please kneel or pray or sit. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Grant, we beseech you, merciful Lord, to your faithful people, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed is the Lord.
For he has heard the voice of our prayer.
Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy.
And in our song we refresh our God.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the waters of chaos you drew forth the world. and in your great love fashioned us in your image. Now through the deep waters of death, you have brought your people to a new birth by raising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ your light be ever dawn on our hearts as we offer you our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
And on that note, we sing our first hymn, which you will recognise. Once in Royal David City, 438. 438.
Thank you.
Please sit down. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. So let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever.
Amen.
Instead of the psalm, we're going to sing another hymn, which is very similar. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation, number 470.
Oh, my soul, pray.
Please be seated. Now we have our first reading from the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 63.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 63, beginning to read at verse 7. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me. And so he became their saviour. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Remain seated for the Old Testament canticle. Blessed are you, God of Israel, for ever and ever.
For yours is greatness, power, glory, strength, and majesty.
Everything in heaven and on earth is yours.
Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as they over.
Riches and honour come from you.
And you rule.
In your hand are power and might.
Yours is the power and strength to all.
And now we give you thanks, our God.
And praise your glorious name.
For all things come from you.
And of your own have you given.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and shall be forever. Amen. Now we have our second reading from the New Testament, from the book of Ephesians.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 5. The mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it is has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now we stand for the Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old, to show mercy to our ancestors. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham.
Free
to worship him without fear.
Holy, righteous,
And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High.
For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way,
to give his people knowledge of salvation
by the forgiveness of all their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God,
the dawn from on high shall break upon us,
to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death,
and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. So may the words on my lips, the thoughts in all your hearts, in all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. Please be seated. I've headed this sermon, Good But Not Safe. So we'll see. How do you feel when somebody says to you, I'd like a word with you? You make time to meet for the following day, and for 24 hours you sweat it out, thinking what on earth the person will have to say. Does he have good news or bad? Will he find fault with something I've done? Will he ask me for a favour that's going to cost me money and effort? Maybe he wants to give me something, a gift, an invitation to dinner. If this is happening at work, perhaps he wants to talk about a promotion or tell me that I'd better find alternative employment. You have to wait until the appointed time to find out. I want to have a word with you. What on earth does God want to speak to us about? The word that God wants us to have with us is quite different to what the boss might mean. The word that God has for us is not the kind of word that we find in the dictionary. Not the word that can be translated from one language to another. It's a unique word, and God is offering it to us now. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God from eternity. The gospel writer calls Jesus the Word. The Word became flesh and lived among us. We saw his glory. Glory as the one and only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. This summarizes what Christmas is all about. It tells us that the Word, Jesus, has chosen to become a human being. A great film to see during those final days of the year is The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, based on a book by C.S. Lewis. If you are familiar with Lewis's book, you may recall the scene where the four children, Peter, Susan, Edmund and Lucy, have entered Narnia, become the dinner guests of Mr. and Mrs. Beaver. Mr. Beaver tells them of Aslan, and he wants the children to meet him. He describes Aslan as the king of the wood and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. And ask a question, stern and rhetorical. Don't you know who the king of the beasts is? Aslan, the lion, the great lion. The Aslan of whom Mr. Beaver speaks with such respect is the story's central character, the saviour of that world, the Christ of Narnia. Knowing something about lions, Lucy wonders aloud whether the lion is safe. And Mr. Beaver answers her, "Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you." good, but not safe. Not safe, but good. This contrast describes the one whose birth brings us to church this Christmas. Christ the Lord. Good, but not safe. Not safe, but good. Christ is not safe. Tyrants understood this, often better than believers. Herod turns fearful to the core when travels from the east come inquiring about a newborn king of the Jews. He thought this real title was his alone, and a newborn he was not. There must be an intruder, an interloper, some threat to his control at large in the countryside. So he arranges the slaughter, the genocide, of all the baby boys in Bethlehem. Decades later, Stephen preaches Jesus as the Messiah, who subverts everybody's expectations, reigns from a cross of shame, refuses to stay dead. The sermon makes the authorities murderously uneasy. Like Jesus, Stephen, as he dies, prays that the killers be forgiven. Last Tuesday was the feast of Stephen. Jesus is not safe. He asks for all that we are. He offers all that he is. The deal's entirely in our favour. What a bargain. Yet how reluctant are we to take it? He points us to the cross, but is the first to climb it. He demands we live by grace and buys it with his blood. He's not safe, but he is good. Passionate and demanding is this goodness, like lovers on their wedding night. We nail it to a cross, hide it away in a tomb. We insult it through a thousand quibbling qualifications, and even dare to make it dull. Yet this goodness resurrects time again, refusing to stay dead, but interfering in our lives, our circumstances, our relationships, our politics, our past and future, and our present. This goodness, insistent and incessant, places demands upon us, forgiving before we repent, calling us higher, drawing us deeper, inviting us to a banquet of love, beckoning us to a festival of peace, embracing us in a bear hug of mercy. This goodness will not leave us alone to rot by ourselves. This goodness will not leave us alone. And so, God became a human being and came to us as a vulnerable baby to live among us. The story about John Rosen is a good illustration of what it means for God to live among us. John Rosen was a doctor in a psychiatric hospital. Unlike all the other doctors who were aloof and separate from their patients, he moved into the ward with them. He placed his bed among their beds. He lived the life they must live. Day to day, he shared it. He loved them. They didn't talk, if they didn't talk. He didn't talk either. As if he understood what was happening. He was just there and communicated the something to the patients they haven't heard for years. Somebody understood them. But then he did something else. He put his arms around them and hugged them. This doctor with a string of letters after his name, this highly skilled, highly paid physician who was like God to the patient, held those unattractive, unlovable, sometimes incontinent people and loved them back to life. Often, when patients who had been able to speak said their first words, they were, "Thank you." In plain and simple language, isn't that what God will do? Through Jesus, at Christmas, Jesus has come and lived in our world. He has become part of our life of confused priorities, aching bodies, torn and bleeding spirits, of heartbreak and loneliness. Christmas tells us that God is not aloof and separate from our world. He is in the world with us. He has come to hug us and hold us tight, even though our sinful nature makes us unattractive and unlovable. This is the special time of the year when we celebrate the birth of our Saviour in Bethlehem. We enjoy the children presenting a nativity play and delight in their very simple understanding of the events of Christmas. But too often we don't go any further than this simple story. We miss out on the real significance of these events. Christmas is the celebration of God becoming one of us. A fact we can never fully grasp. And living on this earth with all the pain and suffering and all that and the dying, Jesus comes into the thick of everything. In the midst of our agonies in this life, we're not alone. In Jesus, God is with us when we're depressed and hurting and sick. In Jesus, God is with us when we're hit with the bad news. In Jesus, God is with us when we feel guilty and ashamed. In Jesus, God is with us when we're worried about someone we love. In Jesus, God is with us when we're caught up in a chain of events we're powerless to prevent. In Jesus, God laughs when we laugh. In Jesus, God weeps when we weep. And God dances when we dance for joy. The good news of Christmas is that God hasn't kept himself to himself, separate from all the troubles and all the pain. He's come right here into the middle of all of us. He is truly Emmanuel, God with us. So let's just be silent and listen to our heart. Mary's child has just been born, there in the darkness, there on the straw. His lungs fill with air, and he cries out long and long. What we hear is not only a newborn's wailing, it's a lion's roar. Our Aslan has come. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And as we stand, we sing our next hymn, See Amid the Winter Snow, 489, 489.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Now we have our prayers.
Let us pray to our wonderful God. Lord, we come today with a heart full of gratitude. We are so thankful for all you have done for us and for the blessings you have bestowed on us. We are grateful for your love, which surrounds us and fills us with joy. We are thankful for your grace and mercy, which guides us through even the toughest times. We are grateful for your presence in our lives and for the hope and strength you give us each day. Thank you, God, for all that you are and you do. Amen.
Amen.
Father, may this coming year be good for all we love. We pray that you will guide us, that your voice will encourage us to live as your heavenly kingdom, and that your Holy Spirit will enliven us as we grow, learn, and work together. May others see your love shine through us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, this lovely season we give our heart to children. In the child in the manger, we see all children, beautiful and blessed, every child full of possibilities. And yet we mess them up. Forgive us, good Lord, and help us to treasure our children above all else, to be tender and kind, protective and encouraging. We pray also for children in poorer countries denied the benefits of education, healthcare, and security. These are your children. May they be our children too. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, for all the nations caught up in wars and violence, and we especially think of the conflicts in Ukraine and Gaza, we wonder how it could come to this, that men and women still demonstrate such hatred and cruelty to each other. We pray for ever peacemaking initiative of the United Nations and for all the people with peace in their hearts. Increase their determination and strengthen their skill until the storms of war are past. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord God, especially at this time of year, we give thanks for our families and friends, whether with us now or fondly remembered. And in a moment of silence, let us pray for them, for their needs, or for their life in glory. Let us also pray for those noted on our notice sheet, unwell, in grief, or recuperating at this time. We especially think of Arshak Sarkissian and his family after the passing of Edwina this week. Sheila and Harry Knox, Oliver Heal, Amanda Ricketts, Joe and Tim Oliver, Joyce Feacock, and even Peter Nelson. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. What can we give him, poor as we are? If we were a shepherd, we would bring a lamb. If we were wise men, we would do our part. Yet what can we give him? Give our hearts. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Jean. Collect for the day. God in Trinity, eternal unity of perfect love, gather the nations to be one family, and draw us into your holy life through the birth of Emmanuel, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And gathering our prayers and praises into one, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
our final hymn, Away in a Manger. We'll be children again. Number 36. God of our salvation, you have restored us to life. You have brought back us again into your love. By the triumphant death and resurrection of Christ, continue to heal us as we go to live and work in the power of your Spirit to your praise and glory. Amen. Now we face each other across the aisle and say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.